You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, happy October, and welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program, our little hate ministry that we have here on the syndicated AM/FM airwaves. Well, that's what they would call it, of course. If you are of Caucasian descent and you feel as though you have the right to exist, then, of course, that is very hateful indeed. Well, we're working to change such flawed thinking, and we've come a long way in 9 years, and we continue to make strides, the likes of which we have not yet made before. I'm telling you, the next few months, folks, are going to be incredibly sensational for the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in studio this evening. And first, I want to begin the show with the most important news of all, and that is a thank you. And I've relayed this via the email list and on the website as well. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, around the world who tune into this program during the month of September, and certainly those who contributed to the success of our third quarter fundraising drive. We did reach our goal. And we will remain on solid ground, financially speaking, for the next couple of months. Another fundraiser will be kicking into effect in December. But between now and then, rest easy. You've done your job, and we will continue to do ours each and every Saturday night. Folks, we're accomplishing so much together. It's making a real difference. We see it in the uptick in correspondence. We see it in our ratings. We see it in the fact that, we continue to make advances in the mainstream media above and beyond the hold that we have here in the establishment press on the AM/FM radio airwaves of the Political Cesspool radio program. Filmed my part in a television series earlier this week. More information about that forthcoming. But I'm telling you, folks, it was a grand slam. We knocked it out of the park. Just wait until January is all I can tell you. We're going to continue to strive to give you our very best and produce a quality show. You deserve nothing less. You've given us your very best. And again, we're all in this together. And Keith, I know you'd like to echo those sentiments before we go to a couple of letters that came in the mail this week. Not emails, but letters. Actually, a postcard and a letter. So we're going to get to that.
Well, James, I can hardly wait until I see this broadcast. And I'm sure that James acquitted himself very well. He always does. And it just gives the lie to the opponents of free speech and the leftist proponents of so-called tolerant intolerance that we have now, according to political correctness, that James is smart, well-spoken, a great representative for our cause, and I can't wait to see it. I'm just, I hope that you can get some type of clip so we can play it on the blog roll.
We will see what we can do when the time comes. Going quickly to the mail here, a postcard from a listener in upstate New York. I mean, we talk about each week the fact that we have a very diverse audience, and I use that in the best possible definition of the word, the true sense of the word. Hi, James and Keith. Your show speaks the truth and keeps me keeping the faith. God bless you. This comes from a listener, Keith Matt, in upstate New York. This letter also from New York. It reads, I wanted to take the time to write you gentlemen and personally thank you for your very kind words of encouragement and solidarity, and in particular, Mr. Alexander's welcoming message to freedom-loving Northerners to come to Dixie and take a noble stand against the insanity of my home state and the godlessness of progressivism. Also, thank you, gentlemen, for the defenses of the great General Robert E. Lee, an outstanding American and graduate of West Point. That also coming, Keith, from a listener in New York. And emails overflowing. I have never in the history of this show received as many emails as we've been receiving in the last couple of months, few weeks. But just a quick selection tonight before we get down into what will be a very busy evening with three incredible guests. It's easy to host a great show when you have world-class guests appearing each week. Tonight's installment will be no different. mainstays Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review will be on to talk about the latest political developments in the Middle East, and also Reverend Ted Pike, one of our all-time favorites, back to talk about a couple of articles he's written. First of all, dealing with Vladimir Putin and his outfoxing of the Jewish lobby, and then a pretty interesting column that Ted wrote about Bill O'Reilly and his new book, Killing Jesus. You're not going to want to miss those two guests coming up in the second hour. And then Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, has another card up his sleeve in the third hour. Another guest who will be making a debut appearance on the Political Cesspool. But this guest has got credentials that will impress everyone. So that's still forthcoming. But Keith, before we get into some items for discussion this first hour, a comment from our correspondents from the Empire State.
Wonderful that they heard that. We want all true conservatives, and to be a true conservative, you have to be a paleo-conservative, to rally to their spiritual home in Red State America. We are still basically conservative down here. There is a veneer of political correctness that unfortunately has cast a pall on the land, but as we like to say here on the Political Cesspool, the liberalism in the South is a mile wide and an inch deep and disappears in the morning sun like the dew, because people down here understand true conservatism. A paleoconservative is a person who would have been identified as a conservative in 1950. That's my definition of a paleoconservative. Not one of these neoconservatives, not one of these mainstream conservatives today that endorses, you know, half of the liberal agenda or even a quarter of it. We don't cotton to those folks. We want people that really understand what conservatism is all about. Please come down here to the South, and we need to separate America into two nations. It's time, you know, we can drop the term secession. There just needs to be a separation. There needs to be a divorce so that the left, so that the blue states of America can be as liberal as they want to be and the red states of America can be as conservative as they want to be. That's the only way to have the right of self-determination that was the guiding principle of the American Revolution, Jay.
Keith, you hit on some fine points there, and people will use the term segregation closely related to secession or separation. And, I wouldn't advocate for a forced segregation necessarily, because, frankly, you don't have to. People self-segregate anyway. I mean, in all races do that, because as Jared Taylor wrote in a recent column, the history of race relations throughout recorded civilization can be summed up in one word, and that word is conflict. It's very natural and healthy for people to want to be with those who share a common ancestry, a common traditions, common culture, language, religion, heroes, holidays, etc. And so, and you can go from Richmond, Virginia to Corpus Christi, Texas, that vast swath of land spanning well over 1,000 miles. 2,000 miles, if you go to the far part of Texas, for sure. And you can still feel at home. There is something here, as diluted as it is now, that still exists as a separate culture here. And that is, of course, the first prerequisite in becoming an independent nation, to have a culture separate of that, of all of your surroundings. The South still has that. We'll be taking a break. We'll be back right after this.
The fall season is here. Falling downstairs, bad. Fallback pricing, good. Don't fall down the stairs. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote for special fallback pricing on delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Vote early, vote often, through October 10th. Tell us which product to put on sale. Then, beginning October 11th, Fallback Friday, the price of the product with the most votes will be on sale with special fallback pricing. Missing out on a sale on emergency preparedness food, camping food, or backpacking food? Bad. Storing delicious freeze-dried entrees, fruits, vegetables, and desserts? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote now through October 10th for fallback pricing. Voting for politicians who expose themselves? Bad. Voting for fallback pricing at freezedryguy.com? Good. go to freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we were talking about the South just before that first commercial break of the evening, and I know Keith has an article in here that relates to one of our most recent blog postings, and we talked about this, that this would be happening a few weeks ago, and now it has indeed been done, and that is a giant Confederate flag, huge in dimensions, has been raised over I-95 near Richmond, Virginia, the former capital of the Confederacy. We have a video of the flag being raised. It's right there on a major artery throughout the United States there, I-95 in Virginia. It's a beautiful sight to see this thing raised. You know, the Confederate flag is the chief symbol of a unique group of people and their culture, my people and my culture. It's a beautiful flag. It's a flag that forever flies against tyranny. We may have lost our war for independence, but you cannot kill that spirit that animated our ancestors. And this flag, you know, to see it fluttering in the wind, as you will see in this video, or any time you see a Confederate flag, a First National flag, a battle flag related to the Confederacy, anytime I see that fluttering in the wind, it just gives me chills because it's in my blood. I mean, it's not that I'm so ideologically attached to the cause, even though I am, but it's much more than that. It's much more than just the fact that I agree with what they were fighting for and what they stood for. It's in my blood. My ancestors fought for that flag. It's something, you know, to have the, you know, chills go down your spine and to break out in goosebumps and have your hair stand on edge. You know, that's something deeply spiritual and genetic. It really passes understanding. But anyway, it's good that when you have this cultural genocide taking place and this all-out assault on a specific group of people as is happening to Southerners, it's good to see pro-action being taken rather than defense or retreat, which is often the case that we see in instances like this. A brand new flag going up on private property, going to be seen by tens of thousands of people every day. It's a beautiful sight.
Well, this is part of our Behind Enemy Lines segment that we have done, you know, for years on end now. This is an article from Section 4A of the Sunday Commercial Appeal, September 29, 2013. The Commercial Appeal is Memphis's daily newspaper, and, of course, we're here in Memphis. The title of the article is Rebel Yells Great Flag Raising. And then the sub headline is Opponents Regret Hateful Act. Chester, Virginia. Rebel yells echoed in freshly cleared woods along Interstate 95 as hundreds celebrated the raising of a Confederate battle flag, an event opposed by those who view the flag as a symbol of division. Those who attended the raising of the 15 by 25 foot flag from the Army of Northern Virginia, and the ceremony was not intended to offend, but to honor the South's war dead in the Civil War. The reason why we're here is to honor the soldiers, said James Thompson, 90, a North Carolinian, now living in Richmond. We don't see it as a slavery issue. Like many who attended, Thompson said his ancestors fought for the South. Now, let's go further into the article, and it says, since a heritage group, the Virginia Flappers, announced that the flag would rise along the heavily wooded interstate, many residents of Richmond, about 10 miles north up the highway, have protested. The opponents gathered nearly 25,000 signatures in an online protest and encouraged residents of the former capital of the Confederacy to display, I'm trying to read this now, American flags outside their homes. Brian Cannon, a Richmond attorney who organized the protest, said the city already has many memorials to the Confederate cause. He cited statues honoring Southern military leaders such as Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson. Their flag is out of context, he said. It's a symbol of divisiveness, and for many, it's hateful. Well, here's the response to that. Celebrate diversity, y'all. Diversity includes, in fact, the only diversity that is really significant and important to the human experience is diversity of thought, diversity of opinion. Apparently, that diversity can't be tolerated by the left. What we have in America shows you time and again that when you have a city like Richmond that now has a black majority and a black city council and whatnot, that diversity is plowed under. They're not to be allowed any statues, any honoring of the white race and their traditional heroes. They're all replaced. That's what's happened in Memphis. They've taken down the names of three Confederate parks. Forest Park, named after Nathan Bedford Forrest, Jefferson Davis Park, named after the president of the Confederacy, and Confederate Park. They've all been renamed. On the other hand, when white people dominate and defeat a group of people, either politically or militarily, we don't go about changing all the place names. Want an example? Think about California. The Anglos, as they were called, the white people, became the dominant group in California. They won California from Mexico in the Mexican War. But guess what? They maintained Spanish place names like San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Bernardino. They honored Spanish heroes. On the other hand, when black people take over a city, they systematically expunge any reference to white heroes. White people aren't allowed to have their heroes in a land that is ruled by blacks. White people aren't allowed to have their heroes in a land ruled by Hispanics. But when white people rule, they celebrate everyone's background. So consequently, we're the only people sensitive enough to be allowed, I would submit, to be in charge of a multicultural, multiracial community.
And that goes back to the American Indians as well. I mean, as has been talked about on this show by David Yeagley, who himself has American Indian ancestry, no other conquering people would ever name so many cities and states and bridges and rivers and counties for a vanquished foe? Only white people. That's what we did with the Indians. We didn't exterminate them like they were doing to each other and like they tried to do with us. We did put them on reservations for our own protection. Utah, an Indian name. I mean, it gets on and on and on. But, you know, this is the part, this is the thing about it. One of the great double standards in all of the world, that our culture, our music, Keith, our flag, our sons and daughters, they come under to attack. They're called out all the time, while the silence is deafening on calling out nations like Japan, Nigeria, Egypt, you name it, anyone but a European country, on the exact same right to retain a unique heritage. Everyone's allowed to have it. We're not. We're racist. We're evil. We're Nazis if we want for ourselves what everyone else is encouraged and entitled to have. It's natural and healthy. We will not apologize for being who we are. We're very proud of who we are, as all people should be. And that's what that flag represents to me. You never give them anything. Never make any concessions, because you will never appease the left. Don't let them take any of our icons. Don't let them take an inch. Never, ever. It will never appease them. They will only ask for more and more and more as time goes on.
All right, folks, we'll have more on this after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, live and in studio tonight, the first Saturday of October. We're going to get to a caller in Pennsylvania in just a second, but first, going to give Keith a minute to wrap up his thoughts on the subject of the previous segment.
Basically, all we're arguing for is for white racial solidarity. Every other group, as James has noted tonight and has noted many times in the past, is not only allowed but encouraged to cultivate an extreme sense of racial solidarity. Only white Gentiles and white Gentiles alone are denied this right. We're vilified, we're marginalized, we're hooted down. We are sent into the outer darkness for expressing a sense of solidarity. This radio program unapologetically promotes white people and white culture and states that whites have an inherent right, just like every other group, to have a sense of racial solidarity. The culture war, folks, is actually a race war. That's the dirty little secret they don't want you to know. And in a race war, if you don't have a sense of racial solidarity, you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. And we've got a gunfight here, folks. As we often say, in the coming race war, you won't have to worry about what side you're on. The other side will let you know. They won't care how many NAACP honorary certificates you have on your wall. They won't care about your certificate for being a Golden Circle donor to the United Negro College Fund. They're going to see your white skin, and that's going to tell them everything they need to know. If you don't believe it, just get on the internet and see what's happening in Zimbabwe and South Africa today. We need to recapture the sense of pride in our origins that our ancestors had, and particularly our Confederate ancestor, James.
And the thing about it, Keith, the thing that's so ironic is that we are always falsely maligned as bigots and haters and so on and so forth. And certainly everything that we do, this sacrifice, this labor of love that is our radio program, all comes from the love that we have for our family, our extended family, our culture. We hate no one. I mean, I certainly don't hate anybody. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate blacks. I certainly disagree with some of the actions that other groups take against us. But I can truly say in my heart, I hate no one. But at the same time, I don't love anyone quite as much as I love my own people, those, again, with whom I share so much in common. And so I think the ironic thing about that, when you take that into consideration, is that we actually do more, our stand does more to preserve human diversity and freedom than those who are pushing in a totalitarian way diversity and forced integration down our throats. I think, you know, if everyone remains separate, because what's the problem with everyone coming together? There is going to be conflict. There's going to be strife when you put parts that don't match together. People that don't have things in common together, you're going to have rancor. And so by everyone living apart but enjoying the diversity, and you can enjoy aspects of another culture from afar. You can visit. You can share ideas and cross-pollinate. But you don't have to necessarily live together. Everyone should be entitled to have their own living space, including white people, where that culture, that specific culture that's indigenous to different people can thrive. I want it to thrive for all races, including my own. And I think that's a very fair and very healthy assessment of what we're doing here.
And let me be the devil's advocate. Suppose it turned out the way that the left says it will, which is everybody doesn't have conflict. Well, then the result will be homogenization. Everybody will be khaki colored. There's no diversity in that. So if you are really celebrating diversity, you will celebrate every racial group having a strong sense of racial solidarity and promoting their own race and culture.
I said as much earlier this week, and that's a great line. One of our very genius listeners in Florida did a lot to help me prepare recently. But yeah, if everyone at the end of it all, if multiculturalism has its way, and many hundreds of years from now, the mass of humanity is all a mocha-colored one race, where is the diversity in that? I mean, there's no diversity in that. I want all of God's rainbow stripes of races to exist, and I don't want to see the white stripe of that rainbow be eradicated. All right, enough about that, though. I think that's, you know, the thing that's so astonishing about our show, Keith, is that anything that we say could be taken to be controversial at all. It's really, everything that we're saying here is such common sense that it baffles me that someone could possibly disagree with us. I mean that. I'm not trying to be cute, folks. I really mean that. Let's go to Joe, who's been waiting patiently in Pennsylvania. Joe, thanks for your patience, and thanks for your call.
Yes, hi. I applaud what you say and everything. In keeping with even going back to the advent of so-called North and South, you have to look at the basic founding of this North American continent and the efforts of the Pilgrim Fathers, and the one mistake that they allowed to creep into their society was outside forces that allowed the natives to have the means to defend themselves. If you think about it, I mean, really, you know, I'm not saying this jokingly. But all throughout the colonial period of European expansion, it was the advent of the people that they were not necessarily seeking to subjugate, but they eventually became citizens of the respective colonies that became countries and so forth.
Well, I think I would agree with you to this extent, that whites have always been benevolent to a fault.
Yes.
I think we see it now. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yes.
And
their genetic bent seems not to have been to embrace our Christian way of life and you know, our laws and our means of dress and our food and everything on down the line.
Well, and because, as the Greeks said, we reference this maxim from time to time: all things in moderation, nothing in excess, even a virtue such as kindness and benevolence, when carried to a perverted extreme, and that extreme would be putting other people ahead of your own family, which is what all white nations are doing, is certainly no longer an attribute, but a detriment. And yet we want to be kind, we want to be fair to everyone, but when you, and whites have eaten this white guilt to such an extent that now they are the foremost advocates for their own displacement. Our people are fighting harder than anyone else to subjugate our own selves, Keith.
Yes, indeed. In fact, our elites apparently have come to terms with the fact that white people are not going to be in leadership positions, and they're trying desperately to make themselves attractive to non-whites. For example, in the city of Memphis, our elites are constantly trying to put money and resources in the black community so that the black community can raise up leaders who are competent. All of these efforts are doomed to failure, and they have failed up to this point. Of course, the left never admits failure. They just say, one more program, one more dollar, one more expenditure program, and we're going to transform the world. Here's a perfect example. There is an article in the Memphis Commercial Appeal from Sunday, November the 29th, on page 5V, V the viewpoint. Says we call it tax hike for pre-K, solid investment for city. And it's written by some slick-headed geek named John Moore. He says, it's not likely that your children will be asked in a job interview to show a transcript from their pre-kindergarten through third grade school years. But the key period of their life can have a strong impact on the kind of career they end up choosing and how successful they are in achieving that goal. Well, let me say to Mr. Moore, horse feathers. He totally ignores the 15-point differential between the average IQ of African Americans and white Americans that has been documented ad nauseum by people like Herrnstein and Charles Murray in the Bell Curve, Tattoo Vanocken, Richard Lynn, professor at the University of Northern Ireland. What their studies have shown is that there is this insuperable gulf, this 15-point spread between the average IQ of blacks and whites in America. It's even greater when you take non-American blacks into it. Sub-Saharan Africans have an average IQ of 70. That would be 2 standard deviation points. The key to understanding this is in the name of Herrnstein and Murray's book, The Bell Curve. All human intelligence is spread over a bell curve graph. That means that the median, 50%, is right at the top, and then it's slow, then it flattens out and then goes right to the bottom, drops off. Because of that, only 16% of black Americans are as smart or smarter than the average white, and only 16% of whites are as smart or as dumb or dumber than the average black. It doesn't matter how much money you pour into that problem.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, before we get to our Washington, D.C. correspondent, I want to quickly chime in on what Keith was saying, give him a final word, and then we're going to go over to Peter Scoop Stanton. But Keith, before he got chopped off by that last commercial break, was talking again about proven differences between the races with regards to IQ. Blacks have a lower IQ than whites, whites lower than Jews and some Asians, but it cannot be discounted, of course, that the majority, the vast majority of scientific and technological advancements and creations came from those of European descent. But at the same time, you know, you want to talk about white supremacy. Whites are in many ways the most flawed of all of mankind. Only whites would willingly able and abet their own suicide, as we see happening here. So, you know, there's something wrong there. But, you know, the fact of the matter is these are facts. IQs and the differences in IQs are facts. The fact that blacks commit more violence than other peoples are a fact. You know, if there was true leadership going on in the black community, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton wouldn't be running around trying to pull up every nickel that wasn't glued to the floor with their shakedown efforts of shaming companies into surrender by calling them the dreaded R word. They would be talking about the deficiencies of their own people in these regards and having an open and honest conversation about how to fix it. You know, this just in from Colin Flaherty. This is such commonplace that you can't even cover it all. But in Raleigh, North Carolina, citizens are on alert after two cases of black mob violence in two nights in their downtown. The attacks here are the latest in a series of episodes of racial violence in the area, all black on white. The assaults are, of course, a pattern of black mob violence. More than 500 cases in 100 cities recently that continue to terrorize across the country. For the full scoop, go to WorldNet Daily. Colin Flaherty, who was a recent guest of this show, doing incredible work over there. But again, the thing I say about our radio program is not that it's controversial, at least that it shouldn't be to open-minded and common sense thinking people, but the fact that it is needed at all. There should be no reason for the political cesspool to have to exist, because what we cover is so fundamental in so many regards, much less the fact that we are the only show and the only network here with Liberty News Radio that has the courage to do it on the mainstream airwaves. Keith, a quick final word from you, and we got to be sure to get the scoop.
Okay. Again, returning to this article, tax hike for pre-K, solid investment for city, written by a gentleman named John W. Moore. Who is John W. Moore? John W. Moore is the president and chief executive officer of the Greater Memphis, Tennessee Chamber of Commerce. In other words, an elite. Our elites are selling us out. John W. Moore is not a black man. He's not an advocate for black people because he's black himself. He's a white man, and by advocating higher taxes for all the citizens of Memphis for a boondoggle, which is doomed to failure, just like Head Start. Head Start was supposed to address all of these problems, and it was supposed to raise this generation of black geniuses, but it just hasn't happened, and it never will happen. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as Grandma used to say, and you're not going to change Mother Nature. You're not, you know, I think it was Horace, the Roman or the Latin poet, who said, "You may drive Mother Nature out with a pitchfork, but she always hastens back." You can try to drive Mother Nature out of your city with a pitchfork, with a tax hike to fund pre-K for black children. And that's what this is all about. It's not for children generally, it's for black children. And all you'll have is another bloated governmental program hiring a bunch of black people who sit around doing as little as possible, drawing a government paycheck. And we're all like the Head Start program. The Head Start program is one of the most colossal failures of any government program that has ever existed. But you'll never hear that from the mainstream media, only from places like the political cesspool.
All right, that being said, let's go to the intrepid Washington, D.C. correspondent of the political cesspool, Peter Scoop Stanton. Scoop, what do you have on your mind this evening?
Good evening, James, Keith, everybody else. Me being in D.C., I'm not going to talk about the government shutdown because that's on the news all day, every day. However, just rest assured, folks, that NSA is still working to listen in to your phone conversations and read your emails.
Very good.
A couple of things I've seen out about town as I'm working. First off, in the subway system or the metro system, like they call it here in the D.C., there's an atheist group called CFI, don't ask me what it stands for, that's buying ad space from the transit authority in the stations. In this one particular station, there's a picture of one man embracing another man, stating that they don't have a set religion and atheism is cool. And to the credit of the transit authority, they said the transit authority does not endorse nor condone this. It was a First Amendment speech. But just for the average American, the average American is some sort of religious, either Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Satan, Wiccan, or something. And second of all, most Americans, except for 5 to 10% is heterosexual, meaning they like chicks, or if they're female, they like dudes. Second piece of notoriety comes from Politico. Politico is a dish rag here in D.C., but the media pumps them up like they are the next best thing to Matt Drudge. And the National Council of La Raza took out ad space asking for government workers to contribute through the combined federal campaign, which is sort of like you put pre-tax money towards a certain charity. So, anyways, you can help Latino causes by donating through the National Council of La Raza through the combined federal campaign. Now, if this political cesspool tried to do that, we'd be drum out of town. Well, we're not even in town except for yours truly. Well, that's all I got for the peanut gallery. Back to you in the studio.
Scoop, I'm very glad that you brought, and I've actually got the pictures of both of the ads that Scoop is talking about. I'm looking at one on my phone right now, particularly the one for the National Council of La Raza. It says, support the National Council for La Raza and invest in opportunities for Latino families. So again, Keith, here we have a double standard that never seems to trip up these people, and that is the fact that they always say that we are evil and racist for seeing things, anything, through the lens of race. But yet, if race is a social construct, as they suggest, why don't they just say support the National Council for La Raza and invest in opportunities for families? But no, they make sure you know that it's Latino families with the picture of a young Latino girl. The National Council for La Raza, of course, La Raza means the race, and they don't mean the white race. Or the black race, for that matter, or any other. And you know, and I don't have a problem with that. I really don't have a problem with that. To be consistent, I do not have a problem with that. If I was Latino, I would be doing what I'm doing right now, but for Latino families. I mean, I think it's very common and to want to do that thing. But, you know, again, a little consistency on their part would be nice as well, Keith.
Well, James, in all due respect, you're missing the point. The point is this. Liberalism pretends to be about benevolence. They're just trying to help black people, trying to help Hispanic people, trying to help American Indians, trying to help yada, 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 whoever in the world, anybody except white Gentiles. And the truth of the matter is they're not benevolent. Every liberal, radical, egalitarian movement is based on envy and resentment and is malevolent. It is intended not to help black people, but to harm white Gentiles. This is the breakthrough thinking that you need in order to understand our opposition to liberalism. Liberalism is the technique by which leftist, anti-white proponents drive their agenda against white Gentiles. The civil rights movement wasn't pro-black, it was anti-white. The feminist movement wasn't pro-woman, it was anti-male. The homosexual rights movement was not pro-homosexual, but anti-heterosexual. You need to understand what is really motivating the enemy in order to be able to defend your interests. The problem is we've done this wonderful job in the mainstream media, or we haven't, but the mainstream media has done a wonderful job of sailing under false colors. And unfortunately, we have tons of people, our own people, who believe the lie that liberalism is based on benevolent motives. And liberals never own their failures. Like we were saying in the last segment, Head Start is a colossal failure. But when this is pointed out to leftists, they're indignant. They said, our motives were pure and benevolent, so consequently, it's mean-spirited of you to mention the failure of Head Start. Well, sorry, it was not benevolent. It was anti-white. That's what we need to understand. You need to wrap your head around that truth, and then you saw the Gordian knot. You understand liberalism and our opposition to it.
Peter Scoop Stanton, thanks so much for your contribution this week and every week. I know you got to get into work. Millions on welfare are waiting for you to do so. All right, and for Keith Alexander and I, we will be back with a couple of very special guests in the second hour. Mark Weber, director of the Institute of Historical Review, is up first, followed by Ted Pike. The second hour is going to be a barn burner, folks. Stay tuned, and we're bringing it to you right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.